Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spy.
I was sitting here like, man, I can't hear anything in my headphones. Well, you didn't have them plugged in.
I need more snare.
I'm still not confident my headphones are working.
Check one, check two.
No, they're still not plugged in. That's great. Well, at least no, not, this is awesome.
Well, at least they're not burning.
I'm executing as well as the Sacramento Kings do. Oh, look, another turnover from someone associated with the Kings.
Another turnover.
Man.
Oh, man.
Welcome
oh,
in
man.
Here. It's February 23rd, baby. It's Monday, February 23rd. I'm Damian Barling.
It's actually February 23rd.
The ultimate needle mover.
It is February. No, you know what? Forget it, dude. It's two turnovers less than 2 minutes into the game.
Rough start from the break.
Great.
The reason why...
Maybe I should have come out to Lil Wayne, too. Maybe that would have made everything better.
The reason why I know that is because Antoine's birthday was on Saturday. Happy belated birthday, Antoine, and it's February 22nd is her birthday.
No, I'm looking right down at the thing that says February 24th. There's absolutely nothing that says 23 in front of me. Nothing. I am as good at this as the Kings are at playing basketball right now. I'm Zach LaVine. I just got Bakersfield.
Oh.
Sorry, Bakersfield.
We'll get you out of there. We're going to get you out. Well,
sorry,
Bakersfield. Well, sorry, you.
That's probably how they feel about Zach LaVine. Oh, man. Zach LaVine's in Sacramento. Might just feel like that's where he belongs.
Oh, damn.
It's not good here, man. I told
Damian Ham.
I told
Damian for the last 2 days, Damian Ham on Zach LaVine.
God,
I haven't turned on Zach LaVine.
It's not Zach's fault.
It's what? Okay, what's not my turnovers?
The fact that he's here, Zach. No. Turnovers. Zach didn't put this roster together.
No, he didn't. He didn't. I told Kyle, this is it. Like, young Zell Light the Beam dies when this season's over.
Oh, my gosh. That's what we're doing.
Are we sure?
Yeah, no, I think it's over.
Do we still like the Beam after wins, though?
Yeah, of course you do.
Young Zell,
I feel like that's got to live.
Man, come on,
come
man.
On. We got to take some. We got to keep something. Like, you can't take it all away from us.
We're going.
You can't repo everything.
With their eighth win of the season, this is going to be like Mark Jones. Oh, the Kings have cut the lead to 21.
Yeah, they might need us more than ever next season.
Do they? So do you put parameters on it where – unless it's a select situation, like say they're 7-17, but they beat the Warriors. Yeah, we gonna dance that. On that.
Yeah,
green.
Yeah, we play.
But
that.
They have to be 500 or better to get little Young Zell.
Yeah, the Warriors are 22-2 now, but we're gonna celebrate our seventh win.
Vibes are
first Drake bars now. Young Zell.
Vibes are as low here with the Kings community as they were. Remember when people stopped showing up to games and people were like taking pictures every time? This was like 2 years ago, maybe three years ago now.
They were doing what?
Remember you go to the games and we always brag like, oh, we always show up to games in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And then people would be taking pictures of the arena and it's 60% filled.
Yeah,
I think the vibes are about as low as that right now. Like people are ready to stop showing up.
Well, that I think losses are losses. Like the effort and effort's a tough word. The execution in that game was just so bad, and it's against the Warriors, and it's, you know, it's not just the Warriors. It's like they got the same record as you. Mm-hmm. It feels like they're on a different trajectory than you are. You can cut their legs out from underneath them on your home floor, and they, as Malik said, they got punked. They got their ass kicked. What, Steph went for 50, right?
No.
Nah. They gave them, what was it, 24 other possessions? 20. What was that absurd number?
Yeah, 24 turns.
24 possessions. They gave them 24 extra possessions. And they made them pay for it on damn near every single one of them. That's it. I told James, I've never seen that number before. Mm. 38 points off of turnovers? 38? Bro, that's crazy to me.
That is a
crazy number.
They made them pay.
Yep.
They made them pay. And then you've got to tip your hat to the Warriors for executing the way they did. So it's one of those things where, you know.
Savannah walked out onto the Golden 1 Center and whooped your ass.
Yeah, he did. I mean, so like the way I look at these type of things is, you know, what happened, you know, just like what was about a month ago, we came in there and went to the dental office and beat them down by 30. Mm-hmm. And they had some soul search, and they also got an acquisition in Jimmy Butler that helped them out as well. But it happened. It was very, very frustrating in the building, and I'm sure watching it on TV as well, all over the city, seeing that game on Friday.
Yeah.
But you still got things that you got to achieve, man, and it's right there in front of you. You got to figure out how to get to that. You know what I mean? And Friday, as frustrating as it was, I don't want to say it doesn't mean anything, but like if you would have won, that wouldn't have guaranteed you anything. Like you still got to go out there and play. So they got to figure a lot out, and we keep saying it, but they don't have a lot of time to figure it out. And that's the killer about all this, man. And can it even be figured out is a question. Some people believe like it's hopeless. Penny with a hole in it. Not going to be able to figure it out with this group, with these guys. So they got a lot. They got a lot in front of them right now.
That February 3rd. 2-point win against Minnesota. I think De'Aaron had just gotten traded. Mm-hmm. LaVine wasn't here yet. Feels like an eternity ago. I thought they were magnificent in that game. That was the game where I thought, all right, they're going to be just fine. And then I think Orlando was the next one. I think that was the trade deadline game. They kind of got their ass kicked in that one. It was like, all right.
Zach showed up for that one.
Yeah, right. Like, all right, it's cool. Settle in. Let's see what we got. I have not liked virtually anything I've seen since then. I mean, the Mavs win was kind of crazy, but that was like a superhuman performance from DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. Not that the Kings were bad in that one. It's just like there's nothing – like I remember the I remember the Minnesota win because of the way that they played. Mm-hmm. I mean, Malik was great. But the team I thought was really good. The team versus Dallas, I can't remember. And maybe that's because DeMar was so extraordinary in that. But and was that the one – like – that game went to overtime. And Malik went crazy in overtime. I think he scored the first 8 points for Sacramento in that one. But that's what I remember primarily DeMar. If I talk about it long enough, reference Malik.
Yeah.
But outside, like, I can't – like, they beat the Pelicans, and it was kind of like, all right, good. You beat the Pelicans. Like, good. Then you lose to the Pelicans, and it's like, oh, that's a ball crusher. Like, crap.
What?
And then you – yeah. And then you come out, and you – get your face kicked in by the Warriors. It's like they're not playing good basketball.
Nah.
And that's what I'm stuck on is like I thought they played really good basketball against Minnesota. That game more than maybe any game this season, I felt really optimistic about. And I haven't seen it then, and we're getting close to a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's been
3 weeks, 21 days
since the trade deadline. It's been a minute, man, now that you think about it. One of those weeks they didn't play basketball, but it's been a while and that we've seen good.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's games in there. Like no, there's the Pelicans game. There's three Pelicans games in there. There's Dallas. I'm missing. There's a Blazers game in there. I feel like I'm missing a win. No, Pelicans, Mavs. Those were the three wins, and then they lost too.
Yeah. So they like I said, everybody has their solutions for what's going to take to get them on track. If they can get on track, they may all be right. I don't know. You know, start Keon, bench this guy, change this. It may all be the correct way to go about it if they're going to get it done. But at the end of the day, those guys, they've got to find a way to come together, play more cohesive, especially on the offensive end. The defensive end, I don't want to say I was resigned to the fact that they're just not going to be a good defensive team. Maybe I accepted it or expected it. But offensively, they've got to look a lot better than what we've seen. The turnovers, just not being as efficient, not being as lethal on the offensive end. That's been frustrating to see as well, because that was supposed to be the thing that you were able to hang your hat on. And they just look clunky. You know, they look clunky out there. They don't look like a cohesive unit. And what I see a lot of is I see a lot of guys out there kind of tiptoeing around, you know, trying to fit in instead of fit out.
Well, shout out Kevin Love. Kevin Love is funny as hell on social media.
But, yeah, I see a lot of that instead of just going out there and playing your game and being who you are. And I know Doug talked about that a little bit on, I think, Saturday's practice it was.
Doug said a lot this weekend.
Yeah, you know, just go out there and be.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades anywhere you go. Try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus. Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring retinal vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Be you, Zach LaVine. Be you, DeMar DeRozan. Be you, yeah. Malik Monk. Yeah. You know, the group will adjust accordingly, but if you're tiptoeing around trying not to be the person that made you what you are in this league, that's not helping anybody right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I don't know if that fixes everything, but I think that's one adjustment that is completely in their control that they could use to kind of help them out.
All right, there's a lot to talk about with this basketball team. Of course, they take on the Charlotte Hornets tonight. An opportunity to get in the win column, snap this two-game losing streak. You mentioned D.C. There was lots of talk of tough love over the weekend and correcting things and a couple of practices. And the Kings have a huge stretch of basketball coming up, so we will talk about all of that. We're thrilled that you're here with us to start the week. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Jesse asked during the commercial breaks, all the Rock. Yeah, I saw it.
I start calling him Dwayne now.
Dwayne came out to The Block Is Hot, which was confusing.
Then he put out a tweet as well.
That was a good job by him, though.
No, it was cool.
Line. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's cool. He announced WrestleMania 42 in New Orleans. And then proceeded to cut a promo standing directly in front of Cody Rhodes' face that accomplished two things. He made Cody look like the most insignificant little bitch I'd ever seen.
Well, that's twice now.
And the other thing he accomplished was confusing the hell out of everyone. That man looked Cody in the face and said, no, it's not about the title. I don't want the title. I want your soul.
Come on, man.
Like the Undertaker used to do in 1991.
Come on, man.
Like, all right, Dwayne.
What are you doing if someone tells you they want your soul?
I'm going to take it as a threat, to be honest with you. Like,
yeah.
Like some crazy stuff is about to go down.
Let's just keep it a stack.
Didn't The Rock have Cody stand in front row one time, too, at one of the PLEs, I think?
Well, yeah, I'm standing front row at the first Raw.
Okay, maybe it was that day. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Where he walked over and hugged him?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was the first Raw where he cut the big babyface promo and killed the last 9 months of angles.
Yeah, no, let's just keep it a stack. Not that you guys aren't. I think you are, but let's just keep. That was garbage.
Yeah, it was absolute garbage.
I didn't see it live. I was on Twitter. Oh, the whole Rock segment or what? I couldn't finish it.
It was terrible.
Like, what are we doing?
It was.
What the hell are we talking about?
It was awful. Absolute. And it was terrible. And now you got, so is Cody turning heel to be like the corporate champion? And then like Punk is tweeting and it's like, oh, is Punk going to turn heel to be the corporate champ? Like what is happening?
I know garbage. Acting was going on, wrestling was going on, and you know, it was all part of the show. Like Cody knows what's going on, but it really felt like he was out there like, what the hell is this?
Well, did you hear the crowd?
No, I don't know.
No one did. No one heard the crowd. Because they literally just sat there like, okay.
Like I said, I know Cody knows what's going on, but if you're watching that, he looked like, I don't even know what this is.
There's two things that need to happen. And I thought you had accomplished one in January. Turn Rock babyface. The crowd reacts to him in every city because he's not around very often. Mm-hmm. Turn him babyface. Let him be a babyface. And then take his stupid ass off of television. Mm. He does not need to be there. There, unless you're giving us Rock versus Roman, get him off of television. Mm-hmm. I don't need him to be the new Vince McMahon authority figure. I don't need him to be the new Triple H authority figure. I don't need him to be any sort of authority figure. Get him off of television.
Now, the one thing, when he was talking, the one thing that I thought maybe they were trying to line up, and you touched on it a little bit just now, is him turning into the new Vince. And also, the pathway for Cody to be the heel. Because if he's the new Vince and Cody becomes the corporate champion, that's how you start. Yeah, I don't think you have to do it. There's a number of different ways that you can do it, but that's what it sounds like he was trying to.
You already had it. You have left enough breadcrumbs, few and far between, that you could have turned Cody heel. Now, in the scenario you just presented, which a lot of people think is possible, you know what you are? You're everyone else. You're Seth Rollins. You're The Rock. You're The Rock in 1998, mm-hmm. when The Rock went with Vince McMahon mm-hmm. and became the corporate champion, mm-hmm. which was a massive failure. It got Stone Cold Steve Austin over to a massive level, but immediately after that WrestleMania, what'd they do? My bad. Turned him back babyface. Mm. It just makes you everyone else, whereas if you had just come out, I'll play along with your guys' thing. If you had just come out and beat the crap out of John Cena, and stood and looked down at a bloody John Cena, and Paul Heyman walks out and just stands next to you, and you look at him, and Paul does that like look, and you leave together. Mm. You've effectively turned them both, and you're off. And then Paul comes out and says, "We knew a year ago," and he lays out the promo about his dad and how he took care of his dad when his dad had nothing. Lays all of that out and then turns things over to Cody, who was a terrific heel before he went to AEW.
I think that's his move. Him being the heel is the move for his career. Now, let me. I'm just playing devil's advocate a little bit here. Do too many people like Paul Heyman for that to work the way it should?
Possible. I don't think so, because I think
Roman was supposed to be a heel. But to the crowds and everybody, I mean, like, he would get a certain reaction, but Roman was loved. He would get the reaction, you know.
Well, there was a point where they started playing into it.
Right.
When it was clear, like, okay, he's so good, they're cheering him. Mm-hmm. Like, in when you're that great of a bad guy, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. You're so good, they're going to start to cheer you. They didn't really change anything. They still haven't really changed anything.
The thing that that worked for Roman was there was the internal family thing, mm-hmm. where, you know, it was a natural, oh, you're being mean to the family and all this other stuff. Like, he had to go super ruthless damn near. I wonder if you really want heat, if you really want people to be disgusted with you.
You don't need Paul to turn Cody heel.
You don't.
I just feel like you had left breadcrumbs during the Roman Reigns storyline that you could tell the story. You don't even need Paul to tell the story. You could just refer back mm-hmm. to Paul to tell the story.
Yeah, you're right.
Paul probably don't even want to be on TV every week anyways. He's like, no, I'm very comfortable in my role as the wise man.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways, that promo with Dwayne was confusing.
That was awful.
Just terrible.
Mm. He's striking out every time he's like out there now.
Yes.
Do you think he knows?
don't think he believes it.
Yeah, he's not an idiot. He knows. Mm-hmm. So I think I don't. So he knows this one. I don't think he knows the January 6th. Well, I don't think he knows the Raw one. I don't think he knows that one. I don't want to confuse the Rockers. Not quite sure anymore. But I don't know that he knew that was a miss. But I think he know, like he hears the crowd. Mm. And in that case on Friday, he didn't. Mm. They popped when he came out. Mm. Huge reaction, which is why you just have to make him a babyface. But by the end of it, they leave to his music, not Cody's. Mm. And the crowd just sits there. Even when he did the, even when Cody did the handoff thing to Roman or to The Rock and they announced the main event, the crowd in the arena went crazy. They went absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what everybody else thought, the people in the arena loved it. Mm-hmm. The other night, didn't nobody have a clue what that was.
Something
else. It's like, I'm sorry, you're going to take that man's soul? What?
Settle down, big dog. Settle down.
Okay, Dwayne.
Settle down. The best moment he did have, though, where I got a little, it wasn't even like a long chuck. It was just like, it's when he said, something to the fact of, shut your mouth before I slap the syphilis off your face.
The Rock is like a crowd comic who, like, the punchline is dying, but he goes, I'll just go make fun of someone in the crowd.
I got a little smirk and a little chuckle out of that one. Smack the syphilis off your face. Oh, man. But, yeah, it was terrible. Terrible.
All right. What was worse, The Rock's promo on Friday or The King's play on Friday?
The King's play. No doubt.
Yeah.
Are we sure?
I didn't chuckle that one.
Did the Warriors take the King's soul?
Oh, goodness gracious. I didn't chuckle.
Did everyone leave the Golden One Center?
I didn't chuckle not once on Friday.
Yeah, well.
I didn't chuckle not once.
So, the Kings are just anonymous Rock GM every game right now. Hoping it'll pay off, but it just doesn't.
So
what was Michael Cole's line when they used to do that? Ladies and gentlemen, no, that's Paul Heyman. May I have your attention? He used to have a line.
Whenever, he said like he had an announcement from the.
Is that what?
Like
yeah,
that,
it was
like
something, and it got booed every time.
there's a thing that I thought about too. We cover the team because it's our job, you know, and that's what we do. Why is everybody else? Because this team, I was trying to think about this. This team is not liked right now, or at least the franchise. You know what I mean? Like, it is not liked by a lot of people. Why do they still watch? Why do they still follow? Do they still follow? Some people may have just walked away from this team. And they're also...
I don't think that happened.
They're also...
You talking about the Kings?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's walked away from the Kings.
You think they hate watch?
No, I just think they're frustrated.
Someone like the fans?
Yeah.
No, I just think fans are frustrated. I don't think people are like hate watching this team. This fan base has never been empathetic?
Apathetic?
Apathetic, where they don't care anymore.
Yeah,
they've never
apathetic.
Been that. This fan base has never ever been that. I think they're just frustrated. Mm. I think they're unsure. I think there are people who like just want to be, tell me what's good about this team. And like we saw that with like you said stuff was happening on Twitter during the All-Star break. Like you ain't going to get that from me. It doesn't mean I'm not going to root for them to win tonight. It doesn't mean I won't talk well about them tomorrow, but I can't give you a proclamation about what I think about this team moving forward. Doesn't mean I hate them. That doesn't mean I'm walking away from them, and I don't think most fans are walking away from them. Mm-hmm. They're just sitting here like I don't like the Rock promo. I don't know what I'm watching. I don't know what to be excited for. I don't know what to be confident in. I don't know how to feel about Zach LaVine yet. I don't know how to feel about this group yet. I have no clue how to feel about our future. But I'm just going to sit here and hope that they beat the Hornets. Mm. And then Wednesday will roll around, and I hope that they beat the Jazz. Mm-hmm. And then whoever's after that can hope that they beat them.
Houston.
And that's really hope that they beat them. That's it.
Mm. Yeah, I
don't think this fan base walks away, but that's just my opinion.
I don't know. I don't know. We've got to – because they don't like, I don't want to say everything. They don't like a lot about this group. They don't like Zach LaVine. I'm just talking about like the loud people. It could be, you know, they still get cheers when they're at the Golden 1 Center and all this other stuff. But you look in our chat, you listen to people that call in, you know, King's Twitter, all this other stuff. They don't like Zach LaVine. Don't like DeMar DeRozan. They don't like the front office. Don't like Vivek. It's like, man, I wonder at what point do they, Kendrick Lamar, just turn the TV off? Stop going to games.
I don't think you do, just because the team is still 500. They're still probably going to end up in the play-in where they have a chance. They're still playing for something.
I agree. And people are disgusted by that. They're a 500 team.
Yeah,
and they're
potentially
in the play-in.
You were the one who said this is a 52-win team.
I was wrong, but I'm not disgusted by where they're at right now.
Well, it could also be the end of it, too.
They're terrible. This team is not good.
I'm not disgusted by where they're at right now. I'm not here to say that they're great or they're just one win away or anything else like that. I was wrong. It has gone south from where I thought they could be.
Let me ask you.
But I'm still looking. All right, well, what do I got to do to win?
Yeah, I think everyone is.
I think people are disgusted by this team and the front office and all this other stuff.
I think that's all true. I think they're disgusted
by this team. I'm not disgusted by it.
I think that's all true. I just don't think they're walking away from it. I do not think this fan base walks away from this team. This fan base has endured way worse than what we're watching right now and haven't gone anywhere.
I think people are just kind of coming to terms with, like, this might just be the end of whatever was supposed to be built here.
Well, I think the tougher realization is nothing was ever built.
Well, that's the thing too.
Like I mean Beam Team 1 felt like we had the foundation and we were moving. And whatever the hell went on that off season, we didn't.
And we didn't like to hear it at the time, but the reality is it might have just been lightning in a bottle.
Could have been.
They might not have been that good, and everything broke right for them that year. And I mean, like I said, we didn't want to hear it at the time. I know me; I was very like getting at people for it. But we talk about how great they were that year. They won 48 games. This year, we talk about how sorry they are, and they're like, yeah, they might win 44, 45 games. They're in the same situation as a friend. I shouldn't say that. But like win-wise, like actually winning stuff, they're not far away.
But what'd you say that year? What'd you say when it was clear this team's going to make the playoffs?
I don't remember. Said a lot of things.
You did say a lot of things. It's never going to feel like this again.
Yeah.
And the next year? Did not feel like that.
Well, they went 46 last year?
Yep. Didn't feel like 48, though. Mm-hmm. Didn't feel like it did the year before. What'd you say, 44? This maybe on the high end? Does not feel the same. I mean, this is we say this all the time, and I'm going to say it till the season's over. Unless a fourth one emerges, there's three different seasons in this singular season.
Mm-hmm.
The Mike Brown season, the Doug Christie season, and now the post-De'Aaron Fox season. And so that's my biggest question, is what is so different today than when Doug Christie came back from Los Angeles, started a homestand, a four-game homestand, I think it was, mm-hmm. as the head coach.
Four or five.
Yeah. Maybe five. Okay. And I think they won seven in a row.
Mm-hmm.
What is so different?
Me personally, I feel like they, basketball-wise, they're missing a point guard. A true point guard. De'Aaron Fox, while he was
How many
like
of those
this,
seven games did De'Aaron miss? Three?
Missed three of them.
Okay.
Yeah, he missed three of them. And Malik Monk filled in well in that time as a point guard. But like that's right now, that's kind of where he is. Like if you're in a crunch, yeah, you can run a point for a couple of games or something like that. But he's still learning all that. He's learning all that on the fly. And there's going to be things that, you know, if you just get in, just throw him into a situation, like, yeah, he can get by on because he is talented and he can do it. But what if they start game planning for him as a point guard? What if they start taking away things from him as a point guard, getting him frustrated, giving him different looks that he hasn't seen before? And, you know, he's learning about that. You know, and other times he'd be able to get off the ball, get the ball to De'Aaron Fox. and let him create at that point and run the offense. And that guy isn't there right now. I know Zach tries, I know DeMar tries or whatever, but they're not point guards either. So at that point, it you also deal with the aspect that I think is a real issue, is you had guys out there saying, we know who we are, we know what we're supposed to do, let's go out there and execute, we believe in Doug, all this other stuff, it's good. There is an element of these guys just, everybody just trying to not step on toes, not trying to do the right thing, you know, trying to come in, move the ball and all this other stuff. And you don't want to be a ball stopper. You don't want to step on anybody's toes, when sometimes it requires that. It doesn't have to be like that for all 48 minutes, but sometimes you've got to be who you are in this league and what made you great and what made you at the very least very good, and do that. And that goes for Malik, that goes for DeMar, that goes for Zach, that goes for Sabonis. And they're struggling with that. They're struggling with that. This is where the mental aspect of being an athlete comes into play. It's not always as easy as just doing it. Sometimes you got to get out your own way. You got to figure some stuff out mentally, internally, before you can actually go out there and execute. And they need to do it as soon as possible.
Doug said one of these last 2 days, I don't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday, he said these guys are thinking too much. And when you think on the floor, you're cooked. Like, basketball has to be second nature. Mm-hmm. And when you're out there thinking, you're putting yourself and your team and everybody in a bad spot. And it's my job to make sure that they're not, that it does become second nature for them. So that does kind of lend to the time to develop thing. Like, what happened with Dallas last year is very rare, where you acquire that many different types of role players, insert them into a lineup with two superstars, and make the finals. Mm-hmm. That is completely abnormal, unless you have LeBron James on your team, where he might turn over the roster in February and just carry that whatever version of the roster he has to the finals. But that's LeBron. A lot of times it takes teams time to figure. Even Donovan and the Cavs, it took a little time for them to really, really gel together. Minnesota took time to gel together, had their best season, and now they're in another position where they've got to figure things out because they replaced a key cog in this. Mm-hmm. And so New York last year, or New York, you know, figuring things out. Like, normally it takes time to figure things out. Maybe that is what's happening with this Sacramento group.
I'm not saying it's going to end up the same way. You talked about Donovan. Didn't they make the play in the first year? Or was that before Donovan? Donovan elevated them.
I don't think they made the play in. I think they got eliminated in I think they got swept, didn't they?
Oh, no, it was the Knicks. That's the year Donovan was there. They got swept in the first round. The year before they had made the play,
they got lost to swept by the Knicks?
I think they lost in five.
Oh, okay. Five. Okay.
But, yeah, that was the year Donovan was there. They were I think that was a 4-5 matchup or something like that. The year before they had lost in the play-in. That's what I was thinking about. They lost to Trae Young and the Hawks.
Okay.
In the play-in. But, yeah, man, I think there's something to that, you know, and it doesn't always have to be that way, right? Like, sometimes things just start clicking automatically. Like, the Warriors look like, you know, things are just working automatically. Mm-hmm. You got a guy in Jimmy Butler, but I also think
those are championship-level players.
Yeah,
Jimmy's a championship-level player.
Jimmy is, but also the straw that stirs the drink is still there.
Mm-hmm. Draymond Green.
Buddy.
Oh, obviously.
But the straw is, so if anybody comes into that locker room, comes into that team, they already know I'm following his lead, because mm-hmm. he's the man. And he's a guy, talking about Steph Curry, he's a guy that is going to, you know, make Jimmy feel comfortable. Let him, you know, he's still going to do his thing, but his leadership is there, right? I don't know if they have that guy in this situation. And it's something that they're trying to work around a little bit. There's no excuses. Like, it's a bottom line business. Regardless if you're working around, like, figure it out and win games while you're doing that. There's no excuse for 24 turnovers. That's elementary basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that maybe you guys hadn't played together or you're learning different stuff, but you can't be turning the ball over 24 times. Mm-hmm. Like, that is not acceptable, regardless if you guys played together for 1,000 games or you just met on Tuesday. You just learned Isaac Jones' name the other day. Like, it doesn't matter. You can't be turning the ball over 24 times.
Well, and why are you thinking now? Because it felt like the, you know, we talked about or asked, what's the difference between now and when Doug took over? What everybody's loose and free. Nobody. And now I know there's synergy and chemistry with the current group. Nobody looked like they were thinking out there. Nobody looked like they were, like, stuck trying to remember something.
There was no personnel changes. Everybody was still in their role. It was just a new captain. You know what I'm saying? Now,
I think there's more than that, though. Like, maybe everyone was still in their role, but did they approach the role differently? They weren't playing the same.
Like, you had Keon playing, you had Malik.
I know the guys were the same. Like, I get that.
But that matters.
Well, I understand.
There wasn't no, I'm afraid to step on his toe. It was like, my guys are here with me. Let's go. Mm. We got a new captain in here now. Like, who understand, who we relate
is
to.
Is it as simple as saying, hey, just get out and run. Let's go. Like, Zach LaVine puts on a uniform. Don't worry about it, bro. Just get out and run.
It is, but these guys are still human, right? Like, you could, Doug Christie could tell Zach LaVine, hey, man, just go out there and play. Just hoop. Just do you. But I can imagine, some people maybe don't have that conscience, but some people, Zach might be like, all right, get out and hoop, but I don't want to shoot the ball 25 times. I just got here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to do that. I know you're telling me to just hoop, but I'm not going to come out here and shoot the ball 25 times. I'm going to get in where I fit in, work the ball around a little bit, and then that's where Doug is like, hey, you're thinking too much.
Maybe that's the problem. Don't fit in, fit out.
I think in some respects, a guy like Zach LaVine, Malik Monk, especially Malik Monk out here trying to be a point guard. He's trying to be Chris Paul out here because that's what the team need. They need a point guard. Hey, man, I was with Leo and Marcus Thompson watching the game, and they pulled up the thing. At the end of the third quarter, Malik Monk had 8 shot attempts. Mm. Like, come on, man. I need you to be Malik Monk. Mm-hmm. I know you're trying to be a point guard. I know you're trying to orchestrate the offense and all that, but I need you to be Malik Monk, man.
We'll come back. There is good news for the Sacramento Kings, and it's the Suns stink.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a look at the bottom of the Western Conference, and because it seems like a lot happened with Sacramento, Phoenix, and even San Antonio this weekend. Stealing with Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. You can keep crapping on De'Aaron if you want to.
Not crapping on De'Aaron at all during the break. Where's my man? Shaka Zulu Galaxy Gaming.
That is high end right there. High end.
He said, shout out to Fox. Wanted to be on a team that's championship level. Lost Wemby and went 3 of 16 last night. Yikes, should have stayed here, to be honest. I don't know. He had a good game on Thursday against Phoenix, but everybody's playing well against Phoenix. But I was shocked to see them lose to New Orleans last night. I didn't, even without Wemby, I didn't think that was going to happen. And they were up, when I was watching the game, they were up like 10 at one point in the, I think it was third quarter. And they ran after that. That was crazy.
Well, hopefully the Foxes contacted Johnny Jennings and his team at Made for More Realty, the professional realtors in the area. The real estate bar has been raised, and clients today, they expect more help selling and more help buying their home.
That's right. Jennifer heard about Johnny Jennings and his guaranteed offer program on the radio and wanted to hire him because she needed to sell her home quickly and for top dollar in a neighborhood with many other homes for sale. Johnny Jennings and his company, Made for More Realty, were able to get her a full price offer And her home sold the first weekend on the market, man.
Sacramento's most positively Googled, Google-reviewed real estate brokerage, over 935 star reviews. Voted number one in Roseville the past 3 years. They have a proactive marketing team. Their team actively seeks out buyers for your home rather than just listing on MLS and waiting for the phone to ring. Lots of things you can ask them about, including getting multiple instant cash offers. Ask about their guaranteed home sale program. Expect more, get more with Johnny Jennings and his team at Made for More Realty, California, DRE, number 01982171. Just Google Made for More Realty today and get more for your home. All right. Take over, because I'm going to cough any second.
Uh-oh. Well, let me tell you about boxing over the weekend. And His Excellency's got to go.
This might be the episode D-Lo goes, by the way.
I was fighting through that Johnny Jennings, too. I'm like, come on, man, you got it. Don't cough. Don't cough. You got it. And then I finished, like, California DRE. Yep, it's over. That's all I got. I gave you all I got, coach. Gave you all I got. Still resulted in 24 turnovers and 38 points.
Damn. Jay Dill 916 in the chat. He says the Kings currently have no direction. We've talked about that a couple of different times over the last week or so.
Yeah.
What do you guys, I'll ask you and Jesse specifically, what do you guys want to see them do? Like, what direction do you want to see them take?
I think there's only one.
It's time for rebuild.
It's over. Mm. Like, I mean, in order for that not to be the case, you have to really believe that time was a problem. You have to believe that moving forward, not only will Zach LaVine, the pairing of Zach LaVine or the grouping of Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Malik Monk, Keon Ellis, however you're going to work all that out with Domas and Keegan and everything will be good. You've got to believe that time will work there. You probably, I could be wrong. If that's what you believe, front office is probably staying. And Doug Christie's probably staying, which you know, I'm certainly hoping for. And you gotta hope that Devin Carter doesn't suck as much as it appears. There's a lot of hope. I use that word hope a lot of times in that conversation. But if that's what you believe, you just gotta ride it. Pause. You just gotta let it go. Wasn't even that egregious. Not as bad as what you said to me earlier. Sometimes you just like you have to be all in on this. And it could go two ways, right? You could be right. And maybe you're back to a 48, 49, 50 win team. Or it could go the other way and you're a really expensive, laughable 35 win basketball team.
So I just want to hear what the people got to say, man. 916-901-1320.
Yeah, right? I see you. 1320. About damn time you turned the ball over.
What is it, a situation where people just want a direction, a definitive direction, or do they just want a specific one? Like they want, I think a lot of people just want them to say, we're tanking. Because if they came out and maybe Vivek spoke, or I don't know who spoke, said, no, we're going to keep this thing together. We're trying to get to the playoffs. We're going to work this out. We're going to try and bolster this roster. Not saying everything is perfect as is, but we're going to try and work with this roster and try to improve this roster. Do you think people would be happy with that?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because
they would look at it, I think some would, but I think they look at it, oh, you got a second round ceiling. Why are we doing this?
I'm fine with the second round ceiling. That's not what I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of this team not winning a championship. I'm not naive to this. This team doesn't have a star. You're not winning a championship without Giannis or Jokic or Steph. You're not. Like, I'm not naive to that. So the ceiling isn't my concern. The floor is my concern. My concern is you have this same exact team and they win 35 games. That's what I'm afraid of.
Are you good with them going for it, but led by this front office still?
Yes, I'll be fine no matter what they do. It is not going to affect my life. It's just going to affect my attitude when I do this show.
Well, I mean, yeah, just as far as believing in the team, I guess.
Yeah, like, no, I won't believe in them. Like, they'll have to prove me wrong, like, every night. Or for a sustained stretch, like, if they're 17-5, it's not, oh, they got to prove something to me. It's like, oh, that's probably 17-10. Like, no, this is a good basketball team. I was wrong. I think what's killing some Kings fans is the team I mentioned earlier, Detroit. Detroit was laughable. Detroit fired, Detroit paid Monty Williams this stunning amount of money and then made the decision that that was the wrong decision and fired him. Hired J.B. Bickerstaff and I think Luke Walton.
Luke Walton on the staff.
And the ultimate interim head coach. And now they're better than Orlando is right now. Mm-hmm. And Cade, you talk about, you know, I asked you this offseason, like, we're sure about Cade. Yeah, you see, he's verified. Mm-hmm. He's certified. Okay. I don't know what, like, I didn't see what you saw. I see it now. Like, he's taken a step. Like, he doesn't look like the same basketball player that he was last year. Yeah. He looks like...
Yeah, he's better.
He looks like a guy now. Like, he is a guy in this league. And here we are in Sacramento, like, oh, I want one of those. we got Keegan Murray, who had an incredible rookie season that we're waiting for to develop. And we got Devin Carter. Mm. That's what we got. What was Cade? Was Cade one or two?
One.
And Paolo was two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Keegan was 10th.
No. And that's to me, that is the killer. And we've talked about it before with this front office.
Did I mix up drafts? Is that the same draft? Paolo was number one, too, wasn't he?
Paolo was Keegan's draft.
Well, he was one.
He was one.
Yeah, he was one, yeah, too. He was one.
Yep. They're just complete failure in the draft is the nail in the coffin. That's the one I can compartmentalize or defend if I really wanted to, some of the personnel decisions or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
There is no defense for what has happened in the draft outside of Halliburton since they came here. He came here, they came here, whatever. Murray, I don't look at as a miss, but it's kind of time to start calling it what it is. At four, can't have a role player.
Well, you dropped him to be a pillar, right?
Yeah. Like, at that four, that's what you got to have. And he's good. Keegan Murray is good. He is helpful to a winning team. Don't want him, like, traded or nothing. Like, but at four, you got to... At four, you got to have somebody that if it all goes bad, if Fox is gone, Sabonis is gone, and we decide to go in a completely different direction, well, we got him here. Now we're going to start building around this guy. And they don't have that at all. But I don't even look at him as a miss. Look at the Davions not having the pick, the wasted second rounders. You found Keon, but, I mean, just so many wasted second rounders. Then Devin Carter.
Bob. Jameis.
And I'm watching, and it was Lauryn Hill, it could all be so simple. I'm sitting here watching Jalen Wells last night in Memphis, and he's better than I thought he would be, for sure. But in NBA circles, like, he was in that range that he ended up going. I mean, this guy's doing everything that you need. You need a 3-and-D guy that obviously can defend a number of different positions. It feels like I never see him miss a three-pointer. Like, he always hitting the three.
Mm-hmm.
He's tough. He's physical. And you went with Devin Carter, who's just at best not ready to play right now. At best. Mm-hmm. That draft situation for the last, like I said, 3-4 years is just, it's horrendous. It's horrendous. And more than anything, I think that has hamstrung this franchise from being able to survive different things that have gone on, like I said, Fox leaving or anything like that, because you have nothing to fall back on. Absolutely nothing.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the Battery Doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.